well-met adventurers. My name is Lee.
I'm Joe, and welcome to Mage Productions.
We are back now with Systems Episode.
Mm-hmm.
First system of the year.
Now at the end of the month.
Because we are professionals and we plan ahead.
Mm-hmm.
We have Toby back with us, and we're going to talk about Gumshoe. Right?
Yes.
Welcome, Toby.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Thanks for coming back.
Yes. Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
I guess we weren't terrible hosts last time. Somebody actually
no.
wanted to come back on and talk to us.
Yes.
Oh, that's so cool. Yes. So, Gumshoe, why, what is Gumshoe?
Gumshoe is a system by Robin Laws, and it is a system that is designed for investigative games. So anytime you're doing a investigation, like you're a detective, you're a spy, you're a, I don't know what else you could be. Anyway, you be all kinds of things, police, detective, whatever. But the goal is you are trying to solve some sort of mystery. And so the game is specifically designed for that. So typically in a many games, like if you're trying to run an investigation or a mystery in D&D, for example, you have a lot of perception or investigation checks, or you have a persuasion checks to talk to people or anything like that. And you can, at any of those points, you can fail. And if you fail, the GM has to either, the DM has to either pretend that didn't happen or come up with a whole new way for you to get the information that you need. So Gumshoe takes the approach that not getting the information is not fun. Therefore, you will always get the information. The only time you're going to be rolling for something is when failure is more fun, or the uncertainty of failure or in success is more fun. For example, when you're fighting with someone, that's at a time when you're going to actually roll. Otherwise, if you go into a place and you have the requisite knowledge, you can get the clues. For example, you go into a room and you have evidence collection. You get the evidence that you need. If you want more information, you want extra information that's nice to have, but not critical to solving the mystery, you spend a point. And so typically you might have up to 3 points in something. If you have no points in it, you still are an expert in that thing. You just have used up your narrative screen time for that skill, if you will. So each character is designed with a number of investigative skills and general skills. No abilities. You have health, which you can use to resist poison or take damage or whatever. So you can spend health if you want, or you just can use it to absorb damage. But otherwise, that's like the only thing that's close to an ability.
Hmm.
So then there's the concept of core clues versus extra information. Like if you go into a place, you get the core clue if you have the skill. And so between a group of a party of adventure or investigators, you're going to the way the game is, the character creation is the number of points available for investigative skills is kind of spread amongst all of the party members. So in general, you should have every investigative skill covered. So someone's going to have architecture, someone's going to have chemistry, someone's going to have biology, someone's going to have evidence collection, someone's going to have cop talk. Probably not the same person, because that sounds like a rather random collection of skills. But you try and make the collection fit for the character concept. And you have different archetypes. In Trail of Cthulhu, which is set in the 1930s, and obviously like Call of Cthulhu, it's let's go and solve this mystery that, you know, it's cultist, solve this mystery of cultists trying to summon something to end the world. So you have skills that are appropriate for the 1930s. You could also, there's a bunch of games that are set in this, with this general Gumshoe rules. So there's science fiction, Ash and Stars, there's Fear itself, which is modern people who don't know what they're doing fighting horrible monsters. There's, let's see, what else is there? Knights Black's Agents, which is one I just got interested in. That is super spies fighting vampires.
Cool. Already then.
Yeah. Oh, it's very cool.
That's awesome.
I haven't run that one or played that one yet, so I don't want to get it. I mean, it's very cool, but the concept is neat. I haven't played it yet. But so the idea is generally that your whole group has everything covered, so you can do whatever needs to be done as a group. Mm-hmm. The difficulty is not gathering the information. The difficulty is putting it together, making sense of it, and solving the mystery. And then there's usually the part that I usually call the running and screaming, which is where we've now solved the mystery. We go to the place where the monster is, and there's a lot of running and screaming.
Okay.
So that's Gumshoe in a nutshell. And for combat, like investigative or the general skills, you're talking, you roll a d6, and you can spend points on that roll to add to the roll, and you want to get usually a 4 or higher. Mm-hmm. So generally, you've got a pretty good fair chance, even if you don't spend any points. But the points are there to spend, so you do a great job punching the guy, and or shooting the alien monster.
Right.
So that's kind of it in a nutshell, and then there's. Like I said, there's all these different ways that they kind of bring that concept into a specific setting. For trail, you're going to have a whole bunch of, they have sanity rules. They have stability, which is sort of like how I feel today. Sanity is my overall, how close am I to completely falling apart? Like long-term sanity.
Right.
And stability is, that comes back over time. Sanity does not. Mm-hmm. So your stability is like when you see a dead body, you lose 1 point and you might have 10, say.
Sure.
Because you're a player character.
Right.
You see a horrible monster, you're going to take 5. You see it up close and attacking you, 8, maybe. I don't know. It's, yeah.
Oh, my. That's a lot. Well, I mean, that makes sense. I would probably, lose a lot of sanity also. So,
yeah, what I like about that is it distinguishes between the sanity and stability. And so stability is sort of like your mental state now, like how together are you? Are you, I'm doing just fine. Nobody's been shooting at me. I've had a nice cup of tea this afternoon. My stability's at full. I get into a terrible situation and I just had a fist fight with someone who was trying to kill me. I found a dead body in the basement and a knife flew through the air and I had to fend it off with a frying pan. Now I'm not doing as well as I was earlier in the day.
Sure.
Understandably at that point.
Understandably. Right. And so that's that. Yeah. And then if at the end of all of that, I see some terrible mythos monster, I see a amigo or something like that that's been gathering people together and slurping brains out, and my stability goes below 0, now I've lost a point of sanity, and I'm also probably, that's why, cool. I say running and screaming. Now I'm running and screaming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's an interesting concept. I like that when your instability goes down to 0, like it goes deeper.
Yeah, it gets worse.
Yeah.
And you can go down to minus like 10 or something like that. So if you go to 0, you're like, now you can't really concentrate on anything anymore. And same thing for health. Health goes down to 0. You're hurt. You can at negative, you have to like roll a d6 to try and stay conscious each round to do anything. Huh. At negative 6, at negative 7, you're dead.
Fair.
So you're not dead right at 0.
Yeah. Huh. That's cool.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And this is kind of strictly for the Trail of Cthulhu setting, I guess, for lack of a better word, within the Gumshoe system.
Yeah, that's the way it makes sense to me, is to put Trail of Cthulhu as like an example system, a setting. Mm-hmm. And it each of the different rule sets or each of the different games does add specific rules for that game. Like the Knights Black Agents has got a whole bunch of stuff in there for super spies. It's got networking. It's got cover identities. It's got you know, a ton of guns and stuff like that, because it's supposed to be super spies now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's got special stuff for the vampires to do terrible things to you.
That's great. So,
as they do.
Special evil vampire do, rules. Yeah. Check.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, and then you've got Fear Itself, which has got, again, that's the concept there is kind of normal people dealing with terrible things. Mm-hmm. And I think they like the one special thing, it's got special rules for the horrible monsters. And then I think there's psychic abilities in there as well.
Nice.
There's Esoterrorists, where you're an organization fighting cultists trying to bring about the end of the world. And that's more modern. And then, oh, Time Watch, where you're time cops.
Cool.
Going through the universe, trying to keep the timeline correct. And coming up this summer, I hope, is Swords of the Serpentine, which is Fafhrd and the Grey Mauser. So you're fantasy heroes in a decadent city. Heroes? Well, maybe not actually heroes. The one playtest I did of that, I impersonated a hero the whole time.
Nice. So,
yes. My guy had stolen the credentials of a hero, so I pretended.
Heck yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that one coming out.
Yeah.
This system sounds super, super versatile.
It does.
Yeah, it really is. And it's all basically that same concept. You've got points to spend. And the way they like to describe it is you've got these points for investigative or interpersonal abilities. Like I'm going to use intimidation. I'm going to scare the heck out of them. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to use a point of intimidation, and that's going to, you know, they're going to, now they're terrified of me. Because like I said, you're not going to really have more than 3 points in any investigative or interpersonal skill, or you're going to spend a point of flattery. And, you know, and they'll tell you whatever you want, because you're just being so nice to them.
Yeah.
So or reassurance, and there's a bunch of different ones.
You have these points that are associated to skills, I guess. Mm-hmm. Is that like a pool of points that are associated with that particular part that you spend, and then it's gone?
It's gone for this investigation.
Okay.
And so that's why I was saying it's kind of like screen time.
Yeah.
So one way, I had one player who was like, I'm running out of points. And I told him, well, that just means you're getting close to the end. Because the idea is you go through the investigation. You can always get a core clue that will, if you put all the core clues together, you will get to the end of the mystery.
Sure.
And you can solve it. If you want more information to maybe short circuit it and get more detail on the mystery, then that's when you're going to be spending points.
Okay.
And by spending those points, that's sort of like your screen time, or you're being, you know, your character in the movie being important, getting screen time.
Right. Okay. It's those like focus moments.
Mm-hmm. Those focus moments where you're like, oh yeah, so I'm going to show off my expertise in, architecture, and point out where there has to be a secret door in the corner of this room here, and we're going to find it. One of the best parts of it, I forgot to mention, preparedness. So you don't normally have an equipment list. You have a pool of preparedness points. So I don't need to, ahead of time, I don't need to figure out what I need for this mission. We're going to go down into the caves. I'm going to roll preparedness. I brought a flashlight. And I've got a lot of preparedness, so I brought flashlights for everyone.
Nice.
Rather than having a big equipment list where you're like, well, you know, I'm carrying this big old sack of everything. No, you just have what's important. And we know it's important because you spent preparedness points to get it, rolled well, and pulled it out when you needed it.
I really like that.
I love that.
So great.
That's really great.
Yeah.
That is an awesome aspect.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. I've been trying to figure out how to do something like pull that sort of concept into D&D yet, but I have not quite figured out how to do that.
Please let me know if you do.
Yeah, for real. Oh my God. I'm on that one too, because that's awesome.
Like, I have to constantly push it out of my head. Like, okay, so I'm this cool adventurer, except I have this giant bag of crap that I am pulling around with me everywhere.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Yeah. Like you're right. Going to see the king. Why are you carrying torches? Just in case.
Because I might get dropped down a tunnel in this courtroom and now I'm down in a cave and I need my torch. I'm not going to leave it back at the end. Come on now.
There could be an earthquake. The ground below you could open up and you could fall into a pit.
No, that doesn't happen ever.
Yeah. Never. Never.
Definitely not a plot hook we've used in a podcast.
No. That's awesome though. I like the concept of that, and like then you don't have to worry about equipment, and then like you put your players into a situation and be like, but nobody has a light, and now it's going to be awkward. Mm-hmm. So now I have
We've certainly run into that where everyone fails their preparedness.
Oh, that's great. Because
they didn't put enough points in it.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, we've definitely had that situation.
So you said that you roll for the preparedness?
Yeah, so the difficulty, like, you're going to roll a dice six. You're going to add some of your preparedness points or not. It's up to you to that roll. Mm-hmm. And you're probably trying to get a 4. If it's something like a flashlight and you could have reasonably expected that you're probably going to need a flashlight. But if you're going to, like, you're going to go visit the king and all of a sudden you get dropped into the dungeon and you need a torch, your preparedness on that torch might be a little bit higher because it's really unlikely that you were expecting that. Or you want something like fancy, like you're playing your Trail of Cthulhu. You're like, I want a reload of my gun. That's probably just a 4. Next time it's going to be maybe a 6 if you need a reload again.
So it's not like you roll once at the beginning of your investigation. That's how many preparedness points you have to use for whatever. It's literally like, man, I could really use a rope right now. Let me roll to see if I have a rope.
Exactly.
I like that.
So when character creation, you decide how many points of preparedness are you going to give this character?
What a hard... Okay.
Yeah.
Now I'm curious.
Yes. Now you're getting to the difficulty part of it is I have to spend these points on this one roll. Mm-hmm. I only have 8 points of scuffling. And I want to punch this guy a whole lot. How many points are you going to put into it?
But I might want to punch somebody else later.
Because they're gone once you use it. Yeah. I might need to punch someone else later.
So, okay. Now I'm interested about character creation.
Yeah, very much so.
Do you have like a set number? I'm guessing that each setting is kind of agnostic to itself. So it would have like an independent sort of character build to go with like the sanity and the networking or kind of to go along with what it is you're doing, fighting vampires or fighting mythos or being awesome, whatever. Do you have like a pool of points that you like a point buy system, I guess?
It's exactly a point buy system. So say I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but it'll say like if you have 4 investigators, if you have 4 players, each player is going to get, let's say, 20 investigative points and 30 general ability points. So general abilities is going to be like punching people, shooting people, preparedness, health, stability, sanity, all that stuff.
Sure.
All those things that are associated with roles. Yeah. That's general. So you're going to have 30 points to spread amongst all of those. And you're going to have 20 points to put in investigative. And you're going to put like 1, maybe 2. If you really feel like this is like a core part of your character's identity, you're going to put 3 there. And you're also going to pick like a archetype, like in Trail of Cthulhu, you're going to pick like, I'm going to be the professor. They literally have, I think, something called like an adventurer, you know, you're basically, because it's the 30s, you're like someone who's been going around the world, you know, doing questionable things. are you going to be a debutante? Like, are you going to be an archaeologist? You're going to be a scientist. So there's a bunch of different things that you like archetypes you could be. I want to say like even bum is one of them.
Nice. That's so my archetype in a game now.
Joe and I are both like, yes,
I'm gonna play the bum.
That one. Yeah, that one.
Expect nothing from me.
So you pick that, and that's got, you know, like, it'll give you, like, special, like, maybe it's cheaper to buy scuffling points, or it's more expensive, or something like that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's an intrigue right there.
And then it might have, like, some special skill that, like, that only the, like, only the debutante might be able to, you know, call up mom and dad for more money. I don't, you know, I don't remember what they are off the top of my head.
Right.
It's going to be something like that. Yeah. And if you've got 8 points in a general... You, depending on the game, you often get what they call a cherry. So off the top of my head, filch, which is sleight of hand, picking pockets, stealing stuff. If you have an 8 in filch, you you can say that you stole it earlier. So you just happen. So, for example, you meet the you meet with the. The Monsignor of the church, and you talk to him for a bit. And then later on, you decide we need to go back to that church after everything's closed because we need to go down to the basement. So the guy with 8 filch could say, well, when we were talking to the Monsignor, I happened to have taken his key earlier.
That's cool. That's a cool concept.
So the other thing all of this tries to do is it tries to short circuit that huge amount of time players spend planning stuff to, you know, like they're like, we're talking back and forth of like, well, we need to get all this gear. Well, we have preparedness for that. We don't need to get any of that gear. Okay. So we need to have already stolen something. Well, all right, we're going to have to go back and we'll do a whole scene again with the Monsignor where we talk to him while he distract him while that person steals the key. No, I have filch of 8. I took it from him earlier. I spend my points. I make my roll. I've got the key. We don't have to go back and do it again.
Yes.
Yeah. That's cool. One example. And then preparedness is I have one for everyone, like the flashlight thing.
Yeah.
It's like a high flashlight or a high level of preparedness. I pull out flashlights for everyone. Yeah. That sort of thing.
So your points that you add to the roll. So you've got, you know, 3 points for whatever skill. Is it like...
Yeah, man, remember, those are all going to be active skills.
So, like, I need to hit a 4 to succeed on this. I roll a 3. I use 1 point to make it that 4. Or I roll a 2 and I can use 2 points to make it that 4. Or...
No, you declare before you roll.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Ooh. I guess it's not that hard starting. Like, starting out, you could be like, you know, I'm going to put maybe 2 points. But, like, once you get deeper into the investigation and, like, you're trying again and you know that that number is going to get higher, like, that's when it gets.
Yeah.
Ooh. That's awesome. I really like the concept of this system. It sounds very, I was going to say story focused, but then I was like, I want to say investigation focused.
Yeah. I mean, it's focused on what it's trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
It's definitely trying to focus. It's definitely focused on, we're trying to do an investigation and we want to make it as fun as possible.
Right.
It sounds like they are accomplishing that. Because
it's great.
Excited about this system, listening to it right now.
So we did one Trail of Cthulhu campaign where we did 2 investigations out of books. We started with one from, I think, like Thrilling Arkham Detective Tales or something like that. And then we ended with one from Mythos Expeditions. And I had 4 players. And then in between, I had two, three investigations in the middle. So we started with an investigation from the book and ended with another one from the book. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of like second investigation was dealing with the fallout from the first. And then the third was dealing with fallout from the second. And then they got out of town. So we were doing it. So it's, again, it's 1930. So the first one was Shanghai Bullet. So we set it in China. It was set in Shanghai. And they ended up in Mongolia at the very end.
Cool.
And they limped back into town in the one remaining car with between the 4 of them, they had, I think, 2 points of health and maybe 1 point of stability left between the 4 of them.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like I said, at the end of the event, at the end of the investigation, you've got the running and screaming part, and yeah. they really, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Kind of like just reeling there. So there's books that have like these investigations, like pre-written adventure kind of thing.
Yeah. There's whole campaigns for Trail of Cthulhu. I think there's a version of Trail of Masks of Gnarlothotep, which is a famous Call of Cthulhu campaign. I think they've converted for Trail. There's Eternal Lies. And then there's like sort of like frames. So the Armitage Files is a frame of investigations where you're finding notes, like documents from an alternate present or future that kind of give you like, oh, this is going to give me clues to do something to prevent something terrible from happening in my current present. Cool. That's kind of the way I understand it. I haven't played that one. And I don't really know. So I don't know. Yeah. But then there's all kinds of different investigations with different themes and whatnot. For Night's Black Agents, they have an adventure called the Dracula Dossier, which is literally... It's a book with for the director. They have a book with all of this different information. Like, if you want to go any number of different places, here's all the information you might have for that. Like, and you can run it like each of these locations, each one of three different ways. So it's this huge resource for the director. But then the best part is they took Bram Stoker Dracula, which is apparently in the public domain, and they annotated the whole book, putting notes all over it from three different generations of agents trying to recruit Dracula as an agent, as an asset. So you can literally, like, the first adventure is you find this book, boom, put it on the table. And now go, there's your pile of clues. And so literally you have players looking through the book, reading through it, and it says something here about Carfax Abbey. Maybe we should go there. Where's that? Oh, that's outside London. Okay. And the director can open the book and go, Carfax Abbey. Well, let's see what terrible things could happen here. It is outstanding. It is so cool.
Amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about like taking props to another level right there?
It really is. It really is. Yeah.
For real?
That is such a great idea.
Oh.
It's very cool.
I want that in my life.
Yeah, I have the book on my shelf over here. The Bram Stoker's Dracula Unredacted.
Man.
I just want that book. Like, regardless.
Both just like, oh, wow. Yeah, for real.
It's very cool. It's very cool.
So, last question. Mm-hmm. What is your favorite thing about this system or these games?
I think my favorite thing about them is how well written the adventures and everything are. I like that it's super easy to do anything you want to do. Like, yes, spending the general points makes for a moment of tension. And it's, you know, the players complain about, oh, my God, I can't believe I have 8 points of shooting. Are you telling me that I can only shoot this guy 3 times? No, you can keep shooting. It's just going to be, you're not going to be as good at it. What if I only roll 1 for damage? Well, that sucks to be you then, doesn't it? But you're also, you're not talking about people with like 15 health or anything. Like, well, the vampires maybe, but
sure,
you know, most of the mooks are going to have, you know, 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Just the point is you shoot them once they're out of the way. But the adventures are written and the books are written really great. I have a book of Out of Time and it's got all of these, like, it's got a World War One adventure and you just read through it and you're like, oh my God, the idea that they came up with for this adventure is just nuts. It's got like the Mythos expedition is one of the expeditions is, you go to, some island in the Pacific on an expedition with, like, I want to say Roosevelt. Like, it's like, yeah, it's really cool. So it's it's got all of these really neat things. And the adventures, they're all great fun to read because you're just reading through them like, I want to run this.
Yeah.
Like, this is so cool. Anyway, that's what I really love about it, that the settings and the adventures are just like, you read them and you're just like, I need to get this to the table as fast as possible.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I really like that.
I need that Dracula book.
Inclusion of real world things, like going on an expedition with Roosevelt. And like,
I think everybody
knows about the book Dracula. Okay, so I've got Bram Stoker's Dracula. Oh, wait, there's all kinds of notes in this book about this and that. Okay. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And if when you're talking to other people who run, especially Knights Black agents, they do all this research for like everything that's happened in, you know, the Balkans over the past 500 years. And they're like, hey, you know what I noticed? I noticed that Dracula's mentor, I can't remember the guy's name. Dracula's mentor happened to be in Budapest at this particular time, which was also the same time that this other thing happened. So I think I'm going to tie those two events together. And you're just like, this is real world stuff that you're taking and you're putting this weird spin on it, but you didn't have to move very far to get there. It's just that you happen to run across, like the research people do for these adventures are, it's just, it's so bizarre. It's so cool looking.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I just want to pick up the books just to read them.
I really say
that and then I'm going to be like, we have to play. Mm-hmm.
You will.
And you know, it's kind of the point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to joining us again.
Mm-hmm. Sure thing.
If anyone has questions about Gumshoe or any of the super awesome settings or anything else, where can they find you and what awesome things are you up to?
You can find me on Twitter. I am Dan Hopia. And I do a podcast myself called RPG Logic, where we play games and talk about the mistakes we made or the things that we did right.
Cool.
So you can see us playing Trail of Cthulhu there. Right now we're playing Conan and hopefully Infinity next. We'll see. Maybe we'll see.
Nice. Well, thank you so much. That
was a great
that was
system.
Super cool. Enjoy.
Appreciate it. If you would like to interact with us, you can find us on Twitter at @mage_podcast or check out our website, mageproductions.com.
Or if you just want to tell other people how much you love the show and that they should listen, you can leave us a 5-star review, go and review us wherever you get your podcast from. We really love to see those and read what you think.
And we would like to give a huge shout out to our partners and sponsors, SoNerdWear.com, a place to find fun clothing and accessories tailored for tabletop geeks and nerds everywhere. They're also on Twitter at SoNerdWear. So you can go to SoNerdWear.com and search for Mage Productions to find all of our cool swag. And then once you find everything, and you can use code MAGE to get 10% off your entire order.